At least 29 people have died today in the drive-by shootings, roadside bombings, and other violence in Iraq. The army says 5 worshippers killed, 15 wounded when a bomb went off outside a Sunni mosque northeast of Baghdad. The chief judge in the case of Christian convert Abdulrahman in Afghanistan says nobody has the right to pressure the court. The judge says Afghanistan has laws and a constitution, and the 3 judges should be left to come to their own decision. Meanwhile, one anonymous Afghan official is saying Rahman could be released soon. Australia's Prime Minister, John Howard, is expressing outrage, saying he felt sick at the idea that a man would be put to death because of his religious beliefs. Howard said he would speak directly to Afghan President Hamid Karzai. Under Islamic law, Rahman could be executed for converting to Christianity while he was working with a missionary aid group in Pakistan 16 years ago. Personal bankruptcies soared to a record high last year in the U.S. as people were rushing to file before the new restrictions kicked in on bankruptcies on October 17th. Data released by the Administrative Office of the U.S. Court show bankruptcy filings in America shot up 30% in 2005 to more than 2 million bankruptcies filed. The revision of the bankruptcy law made it harder to erase credit card and other debts in bankruptcy. Prior to the law's enactment, the number of bankruptcy filings had been fairly stable. The new law bars those with above-average income from Chapter 7, where debts can be wiped out entirely, except under special circumstances. Some bankruptcy attorneys claim the law has failed to stop abuses. This is Air America Radio News. I'm Bill Crowley.
the Mike Malloy Show. Peter Werby sitting in for Mike for one more day. Mike and Kathy and little Molly have been off all week, and they'll be back Monday, all rested, ready to go. What do they say? Tan, fit, and ready. And will he be mellow? Let's talk a little. You know, when I first did this show for Mike, we talked a little about this. I don't want to open it up again. Please don't even call on this one. We were talking about Mike's style compared to me. And Mike, you've heard of the great communicator, right? Mike, the great screamer, that with his signature line, "Have I told you tonight how much I hate these people?" And who he's talking about are the monsters and the sociopaths, the psychos that run this society and much of the world as well. And, you know, if you get immersed in it, like all of us are, particularly the host, but many of you as well, the listeners and the callers, by the way, 866-303-2270, you have to get pretty enraged. And maybe, in a way, the anger is just a way of diverting ourselves, our individual psyches, from being depressed. Because, for instance, my wife will not look at the daily paper. Someone wrote me the other day, "Does your wife share your politics?" And I said, if anything, she's more radical than I am. I mean, I really mean that. Every once in a while, she'll kind of pull me back, thinking I'm being too compromising or something like that. But every morning, we get the New York Times at our door in a Detroit suburb, and she will not look at the front page. She said, "I don't need all that information. I don't need that data. I know how cruel and base and unfair this system is, this whole society. I can't stand to see the results of what Bush does in the world, from everything from the economy to the slaughter that he's perpetrated around the world." And she doesn't look at it. And still, of course, that's the difference. She is not so much angry as saddened and depressed by the state of things, which brings us back to what we've been talking about since last Tuesday, that Pew Research Center study that said that Republicans are happier than Democrats. And I said, for one thing, I don't put much stock in it because Democrats are more honest. Liberals are more honest. They might say, yeah, you know, I'm not very happy these days. Yeah, you know what? I'm suffering a lot of anxiety about my economic future. I work in the auto industry in Detroit, and I'm a little concerned about what's going to happen with my family. I'm a white-collar worker somewhere, anywhere in America, and I never know when there's going to be a merger and a downsizing, which means they get rid of a lot of employees and do essentially what used to be called the speed-up. Because, there's a little bit of overlap when these mergers occur, but mainly what they do is they have less people doing the same amount of work or more. So the Democrats, the liberals, people that are honest with themselves, very importantly, and honest with the world, and see that as a value and as a goal, an honest world. Now, you say, well, we usually don't talk about that. We talk about a peaceful world. We talk about a fair and equitable world. But an honest world? Well, an honest world would have all those dimensions to it. People would realize the commonality of every single person on this planet. An honest world wouldn't erect these divisions of race and religion and gender and sexuality and all the other nonsense that the right wing does, that conservatives do. We don't do that. I mean, you might say, well, wait a minute, Pete. You just said conservatives. I used this analogy once before, and I guess if you do it every few months, it's all right. I've been a Tai Chi Chuan practitioner for about 15 years, and my wonderful teacher, probably should say her name, but actually her name would strike a bell in the strangest way, so I'm not going to say her name. And, well, okay. So she talks in both as the practice of Tai Chi and its martial qualities. It's a martial art, although, of course, most of us aren't in it to kick ass. We're not there. We're there to pick up on its harmony, to learn a vision of how we would want our internal structures, our mind and our body to be, and to extrapolate that out into the world and have the world be like that as well, in harmony, in balance. So she talks to me and to the class about not creating us and them, because when you do that, you fail to realize how much of us is in them and how frequently your opponent is a mirror for who you are. And Wilhelm Reich, the great psychologist, said 70 years ago, 80 years ago, said, don't look for fascism in Germany and in Italy. Look for it in yourself. That's the first place. Neither of them thought, either Lao Tzu, which Tai Chi is based in, nor certainly Reich or my teacher, that's quite a spread of people, thought that you ought to just let disharmony go, that you should not resist evil. But there's a whole deal. I mean, some of you who know some of this know that I'm getting into deep water, because in order for there to be evil, for there to be good, there has to be evil and all that. And it's all about trying to erase dichotomies, try to erase separations and create unity. So one of the things when I start talking of denouncing Bush and what have you, my teacher looks a little askance. I mean, she's certainly opposes Bush and his policies. But then I say, well, I won't say her name. I said, you remember, you're the one that sent me that Happy Tone song, I Hate Republicans. And she just sort of laughed because, you know, she'll do that. You know, do I contradict myself? Then I contradict myself, for I am a multitude. Who said that? Was it some American? It was either Whitman or maybe it was Whitman. Someone else knows who that quote's from. Tell me. Why am I rambling like this? I didn't even have a drink with dinner. But can I bring this to some conclusion? The natural harmony that all species need to survive successfully is missing in this culture and in this civilization. And we are on the highway to hell, as one of my favorite rock bands sings. And not the hell that the Christians see or any other group, but rather a hell on earth. And maybe a few of us throughout our lives here can maintain a semblance of a good life, of a prosperous life, of one that's free from want, that gets good medical care, where we're happy, where the environment seems intact and what have you. But it's getting worse and worse for the majority of people. And I've got some extraordinarily disturbing environmental things to, should I share it with you? Because at some point you think, what the hell? Nature bats last, right? So we can go all the way around the block with conservatives and liberals and Democrats and Republicans and fascists and anarchists and what have you. And in the meantime, if we've soiled the nest through our inability to understand what our world is all about, I mean, forget all the political stuff. Forget all the stuff in the superstructure of this madhouse. Now, I don't mean to say that it's hopeless. Where was I? You know, where I started all this anger. Yeah, you know, Mike's anger. Do this all the time, and I understand where this anger is coming from. You know, I do a show in Detroit on a weekly basis. I do a couple of interviews during the week, and I keep abreast of the news. And that's enough to piss you off big time. But doing this every single night, man, I know where he's coming from. And I know where Janine Garofalo is coming from. And I know where Randy Rhodes is coming from. I don't know. I mean, Al Franken, he seems to be, you know, he chops up the Republicans. He doesn't seem to have much anger in him at all, does he? Nor does Jerry Springer. But what the hell? Maybe it's the nighttime or something like that. All right, this is the Mike Malloy Show. And if I told you tonight how much I hate these people, well, I sure do. And my teacher, my Tai Chi teacher, would say, this is not good. You don't want to be filled with hate, particularly if they are. Now, I agree with her. But if I told you tonight, yeah, all right. Peter Werby on the Mike Malloy Show, 866-303-2270. I haven't even told you about the guests we're going to have or what we're going to talk about. I didn't even plan to talk about that. We'll be right back after these on Air America Radio Network.
You're listening to The Mike Malloy Show on Air America Radio.
A good news story from AliveGoodNews.com.
I'm passionate about two things, motorcycles and my grandchildren. But for the past 3 years, I've suffered from arthritis. The pain caused me to lose strength in my arms, and I couldn't pick up my grandchildren. My doctor suggested I try Aleve, and I definitely noticed the difference. With the pain gone, I've got the energy to pick up my grandchildren and have fun. It's fantastic.
Aleve invites you to share your good news at AleveGoodNews.com.
Use it directed for minor arthritis pain.
Some of the best minds in the automotive industry, using some of the most sophisticated design facilities. Engineers from Ford Motor Company are working together on a common mission, creating safer cars for our families and our children. Ford is renewing its commitment to driving American innovation. At the core of that effort is your safety, because every single life saved is worth it. Ford, driving American innovation.
Hi, True Seekers. You're listening to Peter Werby sitting in for me, Mike Malloy.
Well, thank you, Mike Malloy. Phone number here, as usual, 866-303-2270. And if you want to email me, calltalkyes@yahoo.com. And guests tonight, we're going to focus on the hypocrisy of the United States. You may know that the State Department lists every year those countries that violate human rights systematically. A systematic violation of human rights. They're listed by the State Department. And also, you know, this whole flap at the United Nations about a new council on human rights and the hypocrisy, given that the United States has become an official torture state with policy coming down from the highest levels, from the White House on down through the Pentagon, the Secretary of War, and what have you. I mean, how can this, how is there any room? Talk about calling the kettle black, right? So at about 20 minutes or so, Doug Ireland's going to join us. He's a writer, and he's got a piece called Shia Death Squads Target Iraqi Gays. We've really opened up the floodgates of intolerance in Iraq. And then Bob Jensen, a journalism professor at the University of Texas at Austin. And I heard him today on this right-wing show. I thought, what the hell is he doing there? But he held his own pretty well. And he's got a real interesting article called Why I Am a Christian, sort of. Now, he says in his article he doesn't believe in God, he doesn't believe in Jesus, but he joined a Christian church. And we'll talk with him about other things as well. And then in about an hour or so, we'll be talking with Robert Perry, the editor of Consortium News, and back to the theme of the U.S. as a torture state. One of the themes that we've talked about as well throughout the week is why weren't there more people out for the anti-war demonstrations last weekend on the third anniversary of Bush's murderous, illegal crime against peace, the invasion and occupation of Iraq? And people are saying, well, we had a lot of reasons. I'm not even sure that we came to any conclusions about it. But I imagine you've been seeing these other demonstrations that suddenly coming out of nowhere, because almost all the big demonstrations, save few, over the last 25, 30 years or so, have been generated by the peace and social justice movement. The compulsory pregnancy people have had a few big ones, but mostly it's been us's. And mostly based in the white middle class, Gaia love us. You know, I'm not disparaging that. Some people say it's only white and middle class. Well, you know, hey, it's not like we're chopped liver, right? But we wonder where the other people are that are suffering in this country. And they came out, these immigration rallies against these laws that have been proposed nationally and in states. So thousands of people across the country protested today against legislation cracking down on illegal immigrants, and big demonstrations in Los Angeles, Phoenix, and Atlanta. Phoenix had, according to the reports given by the police, 10,000 people. And if you're in Phoenix, I'd like to hear the figure. They showed up at the offices of John Kyle, one of these Bushoid right-wingers, who introduced, or at least co-sponsored, a bill that would give illegal immigrants up to 5 years to leave the country. They say 10,000. I got to believe it was more than that. In Georgia, activists said tens of thousands of workers did not show up at their jobs Friday after calls for a work stoppage to protest a bill passed by the Georgia House on Thursday, which would deny state services to adults living in the U.S. illegally and impose a 5% surcharge on wire transfers from illegal immigrants. Now, tens of thousands of workers not showing up at their jobs, can we say general strike? That's the ultimate weapon that the people have to stop business as usual, something that the left has called for in this country for I don't know how many years. There's been some general strikes in the 20th century, never nationwide, but like in San Francisco, and these are all in the 30s. San Francisco, wasn't there one in Toledo? All of a sudden I'm forgetting all my labor history, but there was at least three of them. Seattle had a big one. And Teodoro Maus, an organizer of the Georgia protest, estimated as many as 80,000 Hispanics did not show up for work. About 200 converged on the steps of the Georgia Capitol, saying, "Don't panic, we're Hispanic. We have a dream, too." Jennifer Garcia worried what the proposal would do to her family. She said her husband is an illegal Mexican immigrant. If they send him back to Mexico, who's going to take care of the kids and me? Oh, you know, what would the conservatives say? She can go with them, so can the kids. Let's see, I think we're getting this call I was interested in from Phoenix. Let's see if we can, yeah. All right, here's Barbara in Phoenix. Barbara, hi, it's Peter Werby in for Mike Malloy. Can you tell us something about these demonstrations today?
Well, I live outside of Phoenix, and they don't really advertise them all that much. You know, you don't get a lot of news coverage, but they were big. And I think that what I really wanted to comment about is what seems to be something I've been screaming about, which is China.
Yeah.
Which is China taking over our ability to, they're taking over the outside ports where they're going to be checking on nuclear bombs or any.
This is a Hong Kong firm, right?
Yeah, the Hong Kong firm. But it also has to do with immigration, and if they want to make immigration illegal, And if you live in a state like Arizona, where we have Joe Arpaio, who uses the jailed prisoners in Phoenix as work, as labor forces.
Well, so, it used to be union labor, right? And people got paid.
Well, no, this is a union. There's no union. This is a non-union state.
No. I know, but stuff like that used to be like well-paid union labor. Now we've got slave labor doing it.
Well, it's always been non-union.
Yeah.
It's a labor-free state. There's no labor unions here.
Oh, come on. There's got to be some labor unions in Arizona.
No.
I'll bet.
No.
Come on, Phoenix. There's no AFSCME. There's no Teamsters.
Honey, it's a right-to-work state.
I know, but still, it doesn't mean you can't
have
unions.
There's unions here, but it's a right-to-work state.
I know that. Hey, unfortunately, we got to call it quits because our break's coming up. Thank you. Thanks for the report from Phoenix, Barbara. I appreciate that. Doug Ireland's going to be our guest after the break. We're going to talk about death squads in Iraq. We got the military saying, oh, it's only violence in 3 of 18 provinces. Things are getting better. What have we unleashed in Iraq? We'll see when we get back. It's Peter Werbe on the Mike Malloy Show. 866-303-2270. Hang on, please.
This is the Mike Malloy Show on Air America Radio.
There's a natural resource that exists everywhere on the planet that could help end poverty. And yet, it's being ignored. That resource is women. In many of the poorest parts of the world, women are pushed to the sidelines of their societies, not allowed to play a significant role. At CARE, we found that if given a chance, women possess incredible power to create change. So CARE is working to educate girls, working to help women start businesses, working to empower women worldwide. Right now, you can help CARE unleash this resource around the globe. For as little as $2 a day, you can make a difference to millions around the world.
I am powerful.
I am powerful.
She has the power to change her world.
I am powerful.
You have the power to help her do it.
To make your gift to CARE, call 1-800-486-0916. That's 800-486-0916. 800-486-0916.
Do you know the power of financial empowerment? Ambassador Andrew Young, humanitarian and educator, has teamed with Operation Hope founder John Bryant to help eradicate poverty through financial literacy education. Mr. Bryant, how is Operation Hope meeting this challenge?
To empower 5 million youth in 5 years in financial literacy.
Ambassador Young, what's your role in financial literacy education?
Well, I came up with Martin Luther King in the Civil Rights Movement, and now we're trying to develop a Silver Rights Movement. Young people in the system of free enterprise and capitalism need to understand money and how it works. It takes an army of volunteers, business leaders, educators, the entire community. We need the community's help.
If you need financial hope, we're here to help you. Call Operation Hope at 877-592-HOPE. That's 877-592-HOPE. Or visit us online at operationhope.org.
Has he mentioned yet tonight how much he hates these people? It's more of Mike Malloy.
Well, both Mike Malloy and I have mentioned, by virtue of that, that how much we do hate these people. And what, I mean, you just spread the compass around and pick a point. One of the things that's happened in Iraq, all sorts of dark forces have been unleashed. And we hear daily about the deaths, the bombings, the assassinations, the tortures, and what have you. And this was apparently, this illegal invasion and occupation was supposed to relieve the suffering of the Iraqi people. Well, let's talk to veteran political journalist Doug Ireland. Doug Ireland has a piece that's going to come out tomorrow called Shia Death Squads Target Iraqi Gays. It's going to be in this week's issue of the Gay City News. Doug Ireland, welcome to the Mike Malloy Show. It's Peter Werby.
Again.
Wait, actually, let's start again. I didn't even, we didn't have you up. Hi, Doug Ireland.
Hey, good evening, Peter. Good to talk to you again.
There we go. There we go. This piece, Shia Death Squads, we ought to just sort of begin by, what the hell is that? Forgetting who they're targeting. Why are there Shia Death Squads to begin with?
Well, let me start with the fact that last October, the Grand Ayatollah Ali al-Sistani, who is the chief spiritual leader of the Shiite Muslims in Iraq, issued a fatwa ordering that anyone involved with homosexuality, as he put it, be put to death in the most severe way of killing, as he also said.
Hmm.
Since then, organized death squads, sponsored by the military arm of the Supreme Council for the Islamic Revolution in Iraq, which is the largest and most influential Shiite political formation in Iraq. And one of whose members is a vice president of Iraq right now in the current government. Through its military arm, which is called the Badr Corps, has been systematically engaged in a campaign of sexual cleansing, targeting gay men, principally. Lesbians are pretty invisible in Iraq. And these gay men are rounded up, kidnapped, and then executed with their hands tied behind the back and a bullet in the back of the head, frequently after torture and beatings.
So this isn't necessarily Sunnis or Shiites. These are gay Iraqis.
It doesn't matter what the religion of the victim is if they're gay.
Sure.
If you're a gay man and you're a little bit effeminate and walk in the street, you're in danger of getting a beating from one of the squads of the Badr Corps. Usually what happens is they have spies, you see, in all the neighborhoods in all the cities. Mm-hmm. Who compile lists of people they don't like, whether it's gay men or women who won't wear the veil or people who listen to Western music or sell alcohol.
Mm-hmm.
But the way it's working is that if you're a bit effeminate and sort of obviously gay, you can be killed just for the way you look.
Mm-hmm.
Now, an important element of this story, Peter,
mm-hmm.
is the role of Iran in Iraq in instigating these anti-gay murders. Since President Ahmadinejad took power in Iran, he has been engaged in a lethal anti-gay pogrom targeting gay people.
This is in Iran.
This is in Iran.
Yeah.
At least a dozen gay people have been executed, including two teenage lovers who were 16 and 17 at the time of their arrest, hanged in public squares. Thousands of Iranian gays have been rounded up, tortured quite brutally. And one of the principal tactics of the Iranian government has been the use of entrapment via the internet. They send bait, young guys from their sex police, into the chat rooms that are frequented by gays, and they will have one of their young Trojan horses make a date with a gay guy, and when the gay guy shows up for the date, he is snatched and taken away to be brutalized and tortured.
Now, Doug Ireland,
this exact tactic, Peter, of internet entrapment, since the Ayatollah Sistani's anti-gay fatwa, ordering deaths for gays, is now being used in Iraq to entrap gay men.
Well, tell us the connection between the Grand Ayatollah al-Sistani and Iran.
Well, in the first place, the Grand Ayatollah Sistani is himself not Iraqi. He is an Iranian, born in Iran and received his religious training there. Second of all, the Supreme Council of the Islamic for the Islamic Revolution in Iraq, which again is the principal Shiite political group, was always financed by Iran. It had its headquarters in Tehran, Iran, for 20 years under Saddam. It is currently financed by Iran, and there are enormous ties between the Supreme Council and Iran. Its military arm has been armed by Iran. And now we are hearing reports that Iranian police and officers from the Iranian sex police are actually in Iraq and have been interrogating gay men who've been arrested for being gay, particularly in the south around Basra, and interrogating them in Persian through translators. These are reports coming from Iraqi gays who've been arrested.
Well, Doug Ireland, what was the position of gays in Saddam Hussein's time?
It was mixed. There were a couple of gay bars in Baghdad and a big discotheque once a week in the Palestine Hotel.
Mm-hmm.
Up until 1993, and there was a fairly live-and-let-live attitude in the culture. After 93, when sanctions were imposed against the Saddam Hussein regime and Iraq, the government began cracking down on gays as it began pandering to the religious sentiments of the Muslim population to try to rally it behind the regime of Saddam, and all of this tiny handful of gay clubs and gay gathering places were closed down, and gay people began to be arrested. But what is going on today, Iraqi gays have told me, is infinitely worse than anything that they suffered under Saddam Hussein. 3 years into the United States occupation of Iraq, gays are being persecuted, hunted down, and killed as a result of the fatwa established by the Ayatollah Sistani. And when they have gone, when the Iraqi gay activists are all underground, have gone to the green zone, where the U.S. occupying authority headquarters is, in Baghdad, and begged for protection from the death squads, begged the Americans for help, they're laughed at and treated with contempt and derision. Now, why is that?
Sure,
well,
why?
The United States has long been trying to suck up to the Ayatollah Sistani and the Supreme Council for the Islamic Revolution in Iraq as part of the attempt to end the civil war, prevent violence. The United States approved the participation of the Supreme Council in the current government, and in fact, the current plan for talks between the United States and Iran over Iran's role of interference in Iraq was brokered by this Supreme Council that is the one running the death squads and killing the gay people.
Just when you think it can't get any more disgraceful, you find out new information.
Well, that's right. And it's horrific that this is going on, and it's even more scandalous that the mass media in this country have not been aware of it or have not reported on it in any way.
Well, Doug Ireland, you've broke a lot of stories before, and this is on Doug's website. It's Dee Ireland, or you can just, I like the way...
Dyerland.
Dyerland, right.
Since
Dyerland.
We live in a dire land, Peter. I thought it was a good name for my blog.
It's great. Dyerland.typepad.com.
Yes, Dyerland. Anybody can just go to Google and type in the word Dyerland, all one word, and my blog will come right up, and they can read this story for themselves and see the reporting I did to bring this to light.
And Gay City News, that's a New York paper?
Yes, it is. It's the largest gay weekly in New York City. And if you just type in Gay City News into Google, it will come right up as well. And the article's also there, of course.
Well, Doug Ireland, as usual, thanks for doing the job that the mainstream media should. Thanks a lot for being on the program and for bringing us this horrible information. Another reason why... Oh, man, why this war should be vigorously opposed.
Absolutely.
Thanks a lot, Doug.
Thank you, Peter.
As usual, good to talk to you. Peter Werby on the Mike Malloy Show. We'll get your calls when we come back. The number is 866-303-2270. I'm Peter Werby.
The Mike Malloy Show on Air America Radio.
Don't let a stiff neck or an aching back or even arthritis keep you from being active. Go out and get the Salon Pause Patch. Salon Pause medicated patches provide fast and sustained relief to aching muscles and joints. Simply apply the Salon Pause Patch where it hurts and enjoy hours of soothing relief. No fuss, no mess, just lasting relief. So don't let muscle pain slow you down. Be more active with the Salon Pause Patch. Salon Pause is available at major chain drugstores and pharmacies.
At Borders, we believe readers should never be stuck without something good to read.
What are you reading?
Soda Can.
Like it?
I've read it before.
Yeah, me too. I found it rather predictable. Carbonated water, aspartame.
I like the part about the phenylketonuric, though. Sounds so ominous.
You'll always have something great to read with Borders Rewards. Joining is free. Earn rewards every time you shop. See store for details.
What do you think the author meant by canned under the authority of?
Ooh, that part did seem to come out of nowhere.
That's what I thought.
Join Borders Rewards. Make reading even more rewarding.
And now, back to Peter Werby on the Mike Molloy Show.
Well, thank you, Mike. 866-303-2270. We just got finished with a conversation with Doug Ireland about the Iraqi death squads taking aim at gays at... Well, all right, I'll have to do it in Eastern time. I can't figure out the other language. 11:34 Eastern time, we're going to be talking with Bob Perry, editor of Consortium News, about the death squads, the Salvador option, and the work and the connection to the United States. We're talking, and at the top of the hour, after our news and everything, we're going to be talking with Bob Jensen, and we'll talk about, I don't know, with Bob, we just get going. As I read at the top of the hour, all these large immigration rallies were attracting thousands, tens of thousands in some places, like Phoenix. And it goes back to conversation, all this. Maybe this is Friday, so I'm kind of summing up because I won't be here next week. But we were talking about how to create communities of resistance and moving out of the Internet. And I was reminding people how huge demonstrations used to occur before the Internet. Now we have the Internet, and thousands of people get our emails, and dozens of people come out for the demonstrations. Hey, believe it, these poor immigrant, in many cases illegal people that were taking part in these demonstrations, particularly in Atlanta and Phoenix, they didn't have any Internet. They figured out a way. That'd be very interesting to find out how they did that. I mean, was it word of mouth? Did they have, remember those things, leaflets? Here's what Barbara in Cave Creek, Arizona wrote to me at calltalkyes@yahoo.com. If they make immigrants guilty of a crime and then arrest the immigrants, they will put them in tent cities like we have in Maricopa County, put them on chain gangs like they have in our county, and then, like Hitler, we have a slave labor force. Yeah, that's called recycling, right? A lot of times that's happened. People were union workers. There have been actual cases of this. They broke the unions, downsized the workforce. People went on to welfare, and then in order to get their welfare check, they had to do workfare. And what did they do? They assigned them to the same kind of jobs they had when they were union workers. Let's go to Carlton in Los Angeles. Carlton, hi, it's Peter Werby. You're on the air.
Yeah, hi, Peter. We're really concentrating on what's happening to our American citizens that were evacuated from the Gulf Coast and mainly New Orleans. They don't have the voting materials needed to vote in the April 22nd election.
Yeah, they're essentially disenfranchised, aren't they?
And Louisiana State Senator Cleo, what's his name?
Don't know.
Cleo Fields.
Okay.
Cleo Fields and Mississippi Congressman Bernie Thompson. They're really trying to get this resolved in the courts, but of course, Bush's Justice Department has, up against them.
Well, apparently, and I shouldn't say obviously. I don't say apparently. Obviously, who's being excluded are the same people that suffered the worst in New Orleans, and that's poor people of color, right?
Absolutely.
They are now in the diaspora. They've been spread to the winds. And I think that the powers that be are counting on them no longer taking part in the political process, like you're talking about, Carlton, or even moving back there. They think that, they used to call, here in Detroit, they used to, African Americans used to say, and this was, when this word was more in use, but they used to say urban renewal is Negro removal.
Yeah, that's exactly what it is.
Yeah.
But the disappointing part of it is, the lieutenant governor down there in Louisiana, Landrieu, he's running for mayor. And the thing is, the people that would maintain the political flavor down there are, spread out in 41 states, and they're not given the absentee ballot nor the satellite the opportunity to vote by satellite, as the Iraqi people were allowed here to vote by satellite in their election in December.
Well, think about it, Carlton. We have given the Iraqi people, in many cases directly now, billions of dollars. Sometimes but every week, skids filled with American cash is flown over to Iraq and distributed to a series of contractors and employees and what have you. So just like we're not affording the people of our country the right to vote, and hey, we got a whole history over the last 5 years of cheating people out of their vote, Similarly, the money is not expended in order to alleviate the lives of suffering these people here in our own country are experiencing. Thank you, Carlton. I appreciate it. Here's Anthony in Fresno. You're on the air. Go ahead.
How you doing, Peter?
Doing good, thanks.
Yeah, a little bit off topic. I was hearing some reports tonight about coming out of Iraq about Russian intel giving some information to Saddam and helping him out.
Right.
Something bothers me about this, though, is I've heard, I think it was O'Reilly, I believe, has come on his broadcast before. Now, we've known for a few years now that Russia, Germany, France had business interests in Iraq, and they had money they wanted back from Saddam they never got. What I want to know is this. I mean, you know, I don't like seeing our troops compromised if that were the case. That's ridiculous. But how can we differentiate between that and the allegations that Halliburton and Dick Cheney were trying to get sanctions lifted against Iran so they can do business with them? And if these people, which he called traitors, then what's Dick Cheney and Halliburton?
You got it. It's all a crummy business. They're all in it up to their necks. Oil up to their necks. All right, thanks a lot. We got to go to our top of the hour break. I'll be back with Bob Jensen, and we're going to talk, about his appearance on the Michael Medved show, how an atheist has joined a Christian church, and just the political scene in general. I'm Peter Werbe on the Mike Malloy Show, if you want to call in the meantime.
Mike Malloy on Air America Radio. This is the Nation Minute on Air America Radio.
Every once in a while, a politician stumbles into telling the truth. Even George W. Bush. Unwittingly, of course. At a Tuesday press conference, Bush dropped a bombshell. American troops would not leave Iraq on his watch. Not in 2006 or 2008. Let John McCain or Hillary Clinton make that call. Bush's plan for victory amounts to, someone else clean up my mess. If Bush were a five-year-old, he'd undoubtedly receive a spanking. His plan is the inverse of Colin Powell's famous Pottery Barn rule. Bush broke Iraq, never acknowledged owning it, and now refuses to fix it. The White House quickly tried to spin their own spin. White House Press Secretary Scott McClellan said Bush never said what he said. Troops will come home, McClellan insisted, just not all of them. And don't you...
Have you experienced a random act of kindness? Someone you haven't seen for years suddenly come back into your life? Do you know a positive story that inspired or motivated you? Aleve invites you to share your good news at AleveGoodNews.com. For years, Aleve has been devoted to providing good news for people with arthritis pain. Now, Aleve invites you to share your good news at AleveGoodNews.com.
Use it directed for minor arthritis pain.
Jen, what's up?
Hey, how'd you know I was having a party?
Everyone knows you're having a party.
Yeah, pretty crazy, isn't it?
Totally.
Hey, I'm going to smoke up. Want to get high? Here, you'll like this.
This is the moment your guidance can prevent your teen from smoking marijuana. So visit theantidrug.com and learn how to set clear rules about drugs. Parents, the anti-drug. Sponsored by the ONDCP and the Partnership for a Drug-Free America.
Radio News, I'm Bill Crowley. The Red Cross says they're conducting an internal investigation over accusations that some volunteers acted improperly after Hurricane Katrina. A spokesperson says the agency's been investigating about 2,000 claims of alleged abuse since the hurricane. The New York Times reports the interim CEO of the Red Cross, John McGuire, and Senator Charles Grassley of Iowa say some of the actions may have been criminal. The report says these accusations include failing to follow agency procedures in tracking and distributing supplies, along with improperly diverting some Red Cross supplies. The report also mentioned the use of felons as volunteers in disaster areas. Former First Lady Barbara Bush helping one of her sons by helping Hurricane Katrina evacuees. Mrs. Bush gave an undisclosed sum to the Bush-Clinton-Houston Fund, but only if it's used to buy educational software from her son Neil Bush's company. The Houston Chronicle reports Ignite learning programs been given to 8 public schools with high numbers of Katrina refugees since Mrs. Bush's gift. Former President Bush's chief of staff says Barbara Bush wanted to do something specifically for education and for the new students in the schools in Houston. Jean Becker says Mrs. Bush supports her son and has genuine enthusiasm for his company's software program. Neil Bush founded the company in 1999. As George Bush and Dick Cheney are running around the country campaigning for Republican candidates, some of the candidates appear to be running hard to stay away from Bush and Cheney. Many Republicans on the ballot in November appear to be worried about Bush's sinking approval ratings and anxiety over Iraq. Bush presided at a fundraiser today for an Indiana congressman, another for Senator Rick Santorum at a private residence in the Pittsburgh area. Bush and Santorum were not scheduled to appear together publicly. They did meet at an airport in Pittsburgh. When Bush went to Cleveland this week to make a major speech on Iraq, there was a noticeable absence of top Ohio Republicans, including Senator Mike DeWine. And Dick Cheney went to New Jersey this week to raise money for New Jersey Republican Senate candidate Tom Kaine Jr., but Kaine showed up 15 minutes after Cheney left. Kaine said he had gotten stuck in traffic. No date yet. Secretary of State Condoleezza Rice, though, says she's sure the U.S. and Iran will hold talks about Iraq. Rice says that'll take place at the appropriate time. Iran only said recently it's interested in meeting with the U.S. for those talks. This is Air America Radio News.
It's the Mike Malloy Show. Peter Werby sitting in for this final evening. Mike Malloy, Kathy Malloy, little Molly Malloy. I'll all be back on Monday. Our phone number, 866-303-2270. And joining me in the studio, I think pretty soon, will be Detroit's Kelly Brown. On the phone, traveling, Robert Jensen. Bob Jensen's a journalism professor at the University of Texas at Austin and author of many books, most recently, and the one I interviewed him about most recently, The Heart of Whiteness, Confronting Race, Racism, and White Privilege. It's available from City Lights Books. Bob Jensen, on the road. Welcome to the Mike Malloy Show. Are you with me? Yeah, there we go. I bet you're up and on the air now.
Yes. How are you?
Hi.
Doing great. I'm here in Boston tonight.
Business or pleasure?
Oh, a little bit of both, but heavy on the business. So I'm Austin to Boston here. And any day that you can get out of Texas is a good day, so I'm a happy guy.
You're not a Texan, huh?
Not by birth nor inclination, I might add.
Well, you must have tenure or you wouldn't talk so badly about the state. Remember what happened to the Dixie Chicks.
Yes, well, you know, Texas is not terribly tolerant of those who dissent, but I've been at the University of Texas now for about 14 years, and somehow they've managed to put up with me. I think the fact that they legally can't fire me might have something to do with that.
Hey, I was listening to you today on the Michael Medved show. Now, I have a tolerance for right-wingers in any regard, and particularly on the radio for about 2.5 minutes, and then they just make my head hurt, and I'm thinking, what in the hell are you doing on there?
Well, I was on the Medved show to debate David Horowitz about David Horowitz's contention that dangerous radicals like me are undermining America's youth and endangering the very safety of the Republic. It has to do with a book he wrote called The Professors, the 101 Most Dangerous Academics in America Today.
And you were included.
Yes, and among the things I've not been called lately is dangerous, but I guess, you know, I'll accept the name. But, you know, I go on a lot of right-wing talk radio. I go on right-wing talk shows. You know, as a person who works at a public university who voluntarily puts himself into the political mix, it seems to me appropriate and responsible to go on to any station. Now, I can't say that I enjoy Medved as much as Air America, but, you know, it's part of the game. It's part of where you go to engage. And one of the things about the United States is that it's a very, in some ways, a very depoliticized country, and I think any place you can go to engage people on politics is useful.
Well, Bob Jensen, on one level, I certainly admire that and certainly respect your individual choices, but I usually think of that as a waste of time. I see Bill O'Reilly, and you've been on the O'Reilly Show, right?
Yeah, 3 or 4 times over the years.
And I just think, why bother? I mean, I know that maybe that 10% of the audience or 1% of the audience will say, my Lord, he's not a devil with horns. Maybe I'll check out.
Yeah.
You know, but it. I mean, let's talk about it. I think it's a total waste of time.
Well, you know, maybe when you live in Texas and you don't have a lot to do, you're much more tolerant of these things. But I really think there are 2 or 3 reasons for progressives to go on right-wing radio. One is, as you point out, it's to demonstrate to conservatives that people with progressive ideas are not somehow the devil, and maybe over the long term that has some value. But I think more importantly, you have to realize that people who listen to right-wing talk radio or watch those television shows are not all right-wing devotees themselves. It's a perhaps strange thing, but a lot of progressive people kind of poach on those shows, I suppose, for some kind of entertainment value. And there are people who are watching who are undecided. And if they can see a progressive point of view that is articulated in some sort of rational way, well, you know, I don't think this is necessarily the beginning of the revolution, but certainly when you are on the left side of the fence, you have very limited places where you can engage people, and it seems to me to give up any of them is perhaps folly. So, you know, I'm willing to do it. I have, I think, reasonable expectations about what can be accomplished in it, but, you know, given the limited access that those of us on the left side of the fence have to mass media, I'm hesitant to give up any opportunity.
Now, what was going on in the Medved show? You were starting to explain yourself, and then he started playing some sound clip over you.
You know, it all kind of went by a little fast. But in general, what happens on those shows, of course, is that the entire discussion is framed in a way to marginalize anybody with liberal, left, or progressive values. So you're always kind of fighting the tide, trying to inject some sort of not only facts and argument, but some sort of alternative framework. And that's where it's really difficult. And when you add on to that, especially in a commercial framework, the fact that, you know, each section of the show is very short and the guest is usually against you and the host is against you and everybody's talking over you, it's a real struggle. So, I try to have reasonable expectations. You're not going to get a lot wedged into a show like that, but even one or two attempts to counter the right-wing framing of events in the world, it seems to me, is at least potentially useful.
Robert Jensen is our guest on the Mike Malloy Show. Peter Werbe here with you, and he's the author of The Heart of Whiteness, Confronting Race, Racism, and White Privilege. You know, one thing I noticed about the Sean Hannity show is, and I thought maybe it was just an accident of engineering at first, that his voice would almost be double, maybe not quite double, but say his voice would be at 100% and the guest would be at 75% if they were a liberal. And he could easily talk over them since they were on the phone, and he would make asides. They would be talking, and he'd be saying, "Can you believe this guy? He won't shut up." And yet you were holding your own with Michael Medved, and you were kind of insisting that he let you talk.
Well, you know, right-wing talk radio and television is in a sense all very similar. But there are differences between the hosts. Sean Hannity, I've been on his show, and he is kind of the pit bull of right-wing television. I mean, the guy, facts don't penetrate that guy's head. There's no responsiveness at all to a coherent argument. On the other hand, I was just the other night on Joe Scarborough's show on MSNBC, and while I think, you know, Joe is not exactly the paragon of intellectual virtue, he does let me talk more. So there are differences in these shows. Sean Hannity, as you point out, I can't talk about the engineering and whose voice is allowed to be louder. But certainly they all control the format, and that's really what matters. The format, the framing of the issue, the selection of guests, anybody who goes on those shows with left progressive values is starting out in a hole. And again, the most you can do sometimes is to inject some sort of fact, some sort of logic, some sort of framing that tries to counter the way they are not only arguing the issue, but, you know, defining the world. Is that valuable? Well, again, Peter, I understand your skepticism, but in a time in which it's very difficult to reach large audiences, again, you know, I'm willing to maybe play the fool if that's what's necessary to try and wedge some sort of alternative framework in there.
Well, I mean, I think that's good. It's like when we talk about tactics, which tactics work, mass demonstrations, elections, community organizing. How about if we do them all and see what sticks, or we do them all and see the results that come out of our different efforts? I guess I say I wouldn't do it, but I'm happy that
sure.
You do it.
Sure. Well, maybe I have more after 14 years in Texas. Peter, maybe I just have a greater tolerance for what, self-abuse? I don't know. You call it what you want to do, but, you know, we all do what we do to survive. But certainly I would endorse that sort of diversity of tactics. We need to evaluate what works and what doesn't, of course. You know, all tactics are not, in the end, equal. But certainly at this point, I think it's a time for a creative period. Those of us on the left side of the fence are, in fact, working in a deficit, and we've got to be willing to try most anything and, as you say, see what sticks.
Well, can you come back for another segment? We can take a break, and
sure.
I want to talk to you about why you are a Christian, sort of.
Be happy to.
All right, we're going to take a break, and my guest is Robert Jensen, Bob Jensen, a journalism professor at the University of Texas at Austin, and author most recently of The Heart of Whiteness, Confronting Race, Racism, and White Privilege. It's available from City Lights Books, and a good way, when I was talking to Bob on the phone this afternoon setting this up, I said, "Ooh, I need kind of a bio." He said, "Just type in Robert Jensen, J-E-N-S-E-N, you'll get a full list of everything that Bob's done." This is the Mike Malloy Show. I'm Peter Werbe. We'll be right back after these.
You're listening to The Mike Malloy Show on Air America Radio.
If you're looking for the ideal job, Mystery Shop Link has immediate openings for mystery shoppers in your area. Mystery shoppers get paid to shop, dine and drink at restaurants, and even go to the movies. Companies pay you to be their eyes and ears. You tell them how you're treated and how their prices compare. As a mystery shopper, you set your own hours and pick up your own assignments. Bring home hundreds of extra dollars. To qualify, you must be over 18, have a checking account, credit or debit card, and internet access. All you need to do is shop. For a small fee, Mystery ShopLink will have you mystery shopping in a few days. Call now and you'll get a $1,000 online catalog gift certificate. Order what you want. As a mystery shopper, you get to keep the goods free. You'll get the details when you call. This is a very limited offer, so call right now. Call 1-888-223-7979 to find out how you can get paid to shop. That's 1-888-223-7979. Paid shopping assignments are now available in your area. 1-888-223-7979. Offer not available in Nevada.
Hi, Truth Seekers. You're listening to Peter Werby, sitting in for me, Mike Malloy.
Well, thank you, Mike Malloy. Peter Werby, indeed, broadcasting from Detroit. Joining me in Boston on the road, Robert Jensen. Bob Jensen, journalism professor at the University of Texas at Austin. And Bob, you're with me still, I hope.
I'm right here.
And joining us in the studios here is Kelly Brown. She substitutes for me here in Detroit. So, hey, Kelly, how you doing?
Hi. Hi, Peter. And hi, Bob.
Hey, how are you doing, Kelly?
Good, 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 good.
When I retire, she's going to take over for me.
Woohoo!
Except
you're
going
to retire?
I'm not going to retire.
No, of course not.
She'll retire before I do. But one of the Kelly missed the first part of this. One of the things we began talking about, and then we'll get to you why you're a Christian, sort of, is that you appeared in David Horowitz's screed against university professors, naming what was 101 most dangerous professors. Now, even though every academic that I've heard talk about this book have in some ways laughed it off, it's got to have somewhat of a chilling effect, don't you think?
Well, sure. You know, the right wing basically controls almost every major institution in the United States today. They've got control over the executive branch, the legislative branch, the judiciary, the corporate world almost by definition. What are the places where there's still a chance for kind of independent thought? Well, even though the universities and the media as institutions are not terribly radical institutions, they still do create the possibility of and space for independent thought. And I think that's why the right wing has gone after them. That's why you see the critique of the liberal media and the liberal university, even though in some sense neither the media nor the universities are terribly liberal. So any space where you can contest this concentration of power is going to be a target, and the universities are just one of them.
Well, I know several friends of mine that are liberal or left or radical in their beliefs, and they talk about it being more circumspect in what they say, because these some right-wing kids have made complaints at least against two or three of them, and several of them had to take it on pretty seriously. You get this phenomena of kids tape recording their profs or their high school teachers and then turning it over to the right wing. Remember that the guy out in Denver, the sure. high school teacher? By the way, he was the alum of a friend of mine who taught him here in the Detroit area wow. schools. But in any event, the contention was that the high school teacher in Denver had compared Bush to Hitler, which is a little yeah. oversimplification. And then the kid, the student, like Hitler Youth, goes and turns him in to the authorities, right?
Well, I have mixed feelings about this. On the one hand, I've listened to that tape, and I think the way that teacher was conducting his classroom was, from my point of view, I would criticize his teaching methods. Now, that's fine. We can have a discussion about that. Did he do anything that was somehow fundamentally illegitimate? No. Personally, as far as this question of being monitored or taped, I would love it if people would come in and tape me. I wish somebody cared enough about my class to come in and tape me. In a way, I think, those of us who are on the left should say, listen, come on in. I can defend my teaching methods. I can defend my curriculum, my syllabi. I can defend the way I approach this because I think the way I'm teaching is, in fact, defensible. And in fact, when I was on the professor watch list at the University of Texas, a list created by conservative students to allegedly identify those faculty who, in some way that was inappropriate, politicized the classroom, I complimented the students on being politically engaged. And I said, let's have a discussion about this. I think their critique of my classroom is misguided. Here's why I teach the way I do. I think those of us on the left have to be willing to defend our conduct, defend our teaching methods, and if we're in the media, defend our reporting. So in a sense, I don't mind that. In fact, I welcome it, because in a very depoliticized society, any chance for political engagement strikes me as useful. Now, if that monitoring, which is right now just being done by students in kind of an unofficial and informal way, if that ever became a tool of the government or of the university administration to punish people for political views, clearly that's illegitimate. But I think this is a moment not to, condemn the right wing, but to engage them and say, yeah, come on in. Let's have a debate. Let's have a discussion. I think that's a place where we can perhaps win some points.
Well, Bob Jensen, we only have about 2 minutes left. Boy, these segments go by quickly, don't they? And so let's engage with one of your articles. In it, you say, I don't believe in God. I don't believe Jesus Christ was the Son of God. And yet you joined a Christian church. How do they let you in, for one thing?
Well, I'm my whole life I've been a secular person and, an atheist in traditional terms. But I've done political work in churches for the last few years because, whatever my own political or my own theological beliefs, churches are a place where people come to think about these issues. It just so happens in Austin, Texas, where I live, there's a Presbyterian church with a very activist minister who's got very good progressive left values. And after a couple of years of doing political programs in his church, I thought it was an interesting attempt at engagement to join the church, so I did. And this is a church that has a broad conception of what it means to be a Christian. And so now I'm an official member, and not surprisingly, the minister is taking flack from the Presbyterian, especially the conservatives within the Presbyterian establishment, about why they let this atheist in. But to me, again, it's a place of engagement. It's a place to start the conversation. And even though it's going to cause a little trouble in this particular church and in that denomination, I think it's very productive. I think this is how we go forward to connect to a culture that, for better or worse, is extremely religious.
Did you see this University of Minnesota study? It says atheists identified as America's most distrusted minority. You know, we're going to have to let it go at that because I hear our music coming up.
Great, Peter.
Bob Jensen, always a pleasure to talk with you. Robert Jensen, J-E-N-S-E-N. Just Google him and you'll find tons of articles. His latest book is The Heart of Whiteness, Confronting Race, Racism, and White Privilege from City Lights Books. Thanks, Bob.
Always great, Peter.
All right, bye-bye. We'll be right back, 866-303-2270.
This is the Mike Malloy Show on Air America Radio.
I'm so glad you got tickets to this concert.
Definitely. These guys put on a killer show.
Great. Let's go.
Wait. It's just the opening band. Let's get a little stone first. It's crazy strong. Here you go.
This is the moment your guidance can prevent your teen from smoking marijuana. So visit theantidrug.com and learn how to set clear rules about drugs. Parents, the anti-drug. Sponsored by the ONDCP and the Partnership for a Drug-Free America.
Don't let a stiff neck or an aching back or even arthritis keep you from being active. Go out and get the Salon Pause Patch. Salon Pause medicated patches provide fast and sustained relief to aching muscles and joints. Simply apply the Salon Pause Patch where it hurts and enjoy hours of soothing relief. No fuss, no mess, just lasting relief. So don't let muscle pain slow you down. Be more active with the Salon Pause Patch. Salon Pause is available at major chain drugstores and pharmacies.
More coffee, mister?
Yes, please.
Oh,
boy.
Oh, I'm so sorry. Hot coffee all over you. Let me get some paper towels and some cold water. Are you all right?
Why, I'm just fine, young lady. It's just scalding coffee.
Mister, you must be gelling.
That's why I'm not yelling, even though there's considerable redness and swelling.
More gel, more gelling. New and improved Dr. Scholl's massaging gel insoles. More cushioning. Totally outrageous comfort. To start gelling like never before, see the doctor. Dr. Scholl's.
Waitress, how about some more coffee?
Hey, Truth Seekers, Mike Malloy here, and you can hear me, of course, on Air America Radio. If you're as fed up with the Bush crime family as I am, you need to go to ImpeachBushGame.com. That's ImpeachBushGame.com, where you can get the new board game, Impeached, that points out the lies, incompetence, and stupidity of George W. and the entire Bush crime family. You'll have fun playing this eye-opening board game that dares to peek into the Bush administration. Impeached will challenge your ability to lie, cheat, and steal. I'm for real here. Order your game now at ImpeachBushGame.com.
Welcome back to the Mike Malloy Show. Peter Werby sitting in for Micah this last night. And an hour ago, we spoke with Doug Ireland. He was telling us about the Shia death squads targeting Iraqi gays. The death squad issue is much larger than that, and I know Doug would not disagree. Joining us is Robert Perry. Robert Perry is editor of ConsortiumNews.com, and he broke many of the Iran-Contra stories in the 1980s for the Associated Press and Newsweek, and his latest book is Secrecy and Privilege, Rise of the Bush Dynasty from Watergate to Iraq. Bob Perry, welcome to the Mike Malloy Show. It's Peter Werby with you.
Well, thanks, Peter.
Tell me about these death squads in the larger sense. This is quite a phenomena, isn't it?
Well, yeah, it's certainly become part of the situation in Iraq that is as troubling as any other. You've had, of course, the Sunni insurgents who have been pretty ruthless in challenging the American occupation, and then now you have the Shiite government, which has taken shape, and which seems to have turned to death squad operations out of the Interior Ministry and other areas of their security forces. So what you're seeing is kind of a civil war by death squad, where instead of out-and-out battles, people are dragged from their homes and executed. We've seen similar situations in the past in Central America, and before that we saw, of course, the Phoenix program in Vietnam. And sadly, there are some counterinsurgency theorists who see this kind of approach as a way to win, ultimately, how to destroy your enemy.
Mm-hmm. Well, Robert Perry, you wrote about this over a year ago in an article called Bush's Death Squads, where you talk about the Salvador option. Remind us what that was.
Well, in El Salvador, which I covered much more closely than Iraq, but in El Salvador there were death squads that were set up by the right-wing military government back in the early 1980s to put down leftist insurgency. And what that involved was not just going after leftist guerrillas, but going after their political allies and even family members. And there were essentially body dumps in El Salvador where the security forces who would operate as death squads, which meant basically they'd change out of their uniforms before they go kill people, and they would essentially terrorize the population. And that was a way to, in their view, bring the insurgency under control. And that has now been sort of carried over as a theory into Iraq. There was talk a year ago about, among some people in the U.S. military, about the possible applications of the so-called Salvador option. It was written about in Newsweek and a few other places. And now we seem to see it happening.
Yeah. Now, the idea that these militias control large swaths of Baghdad and other areas and practice what they are, the threats they've made and the killings they've carried out to Iraqis, and now we learn to Palestinians as well who are fleeing for their lives at the moment, and this is done with the tacit approval of the Bush administration.
Well, on the surface at least, the Bush administration has opposed this and says it wants to get it under control. On the other hand, you have the United States in a very difficult position in Iraq, where it invaded the country, destroyed the old security forces and the army, and has been trying to rebuild a new one. The CIA has the largest station in the world in Iraq, and it put together the Interior Ministry, and now we're seeing out of the Interior Ministry, which is controlled by the Shiites, this evolution of death squad operations against the Sunnis. The Sunnis, on the other hand, have been organized themselves to sort of fight against the Shiites. So the U.S. has put itself right in the middle of this and, in a sense, has made it much worse by unleashing many of these ethnic rivalries.
Mm-hmm. Doug Ireland told us an hour ago that they've also, these Shia death squads, have been targeting Iraqi gays, and I kept meaning to bring up to him, but things just kind of went along, that they also are a sort of morality police in general, that they'll go into areas where, like, people are dating, and they think that people are not behaving with proper comportment. So this is really a the kind of Taliban-esque policing,
right? Especially in the southern part of Iraq, there have been a number of reports of women being repressed in much the old way we saw in with the extremist kind of governments that the Taliban had in Afghanistan. And despite all the problems there were in Iraq under Saddam Hussein, it was considered one of the more tolerant societies in terms of allowing women to be much more equal within this Islamic framework. So that seems to be going backwards, and there have been cases of women in that part of Iraq trying to flee, leaving the country. We've had a real flood now of refugees coming out of Iraq.
Well, there's always been this blowback when America backs these right-wing religious fanatics. Do you see that same thing occurring here? I mean, Bush says he has a plan for victory, and I don't know if there is any plan whatsoever, but do you think this is actually part of a plan or just stumble from day to day and try to preserve both the occupation in Iraq and his ratings at home?
Well, I think now it's pretty much just do what you can to get by the next day, the next week, and I think much of it is driven by the political calendar here in the United States and what's happening with the poll numbers. Bush doesn't seem to be willing to say that this was a terrible mistake and has to be somehow reversed, or we have to somehow extricate the U.S. from it. He wants to go ahead and press on. The trouble with that is, as Ambassador Khalilzad said, that there's been a Pandora's box opened. And what you have in that is all these old sectarian hatreds that had been kept under some kind of control before this. And the U.S. invasion, by reversing the power structure, the Sunnis had been on top with the Shiites, less so. And under and now that's been reversed. Plus, you have the problem where the oil wealth is in the Shiite areas. So the Sunnis have very little to lose by resisting. And so you have this almost impossible situation to resolve, and the U.S. military is sitting there in the middle of it.
Mm-hmm.
So I think there is kind of a day-to-day, just see how, if we can get by, maybe things will turn out well, maybe the U.S. will get lucky kind of approach. But now with the death squads operating more freely, what that's doing is spreading terror and causing even more of the society breaking down into its sectarian differences. Sunnis are tending to move toward into Sunni neighborhoods and Shiites into Shiite neighborhoods, and you're getting very close to a kind of an ethnic cleansing problem, which could move on to being more of a genocide kind of problem, and the U.S. has put itself in the middle of it.
Well, the longer the United States occupation lasts, it seems the more unresolvable the problem is. Yeah, a year ago, if the United States, or maybe a year and a half ago, would have withdrawn immediately, probably the consequences wouldn't have been so bad. But the right has always been saying that if we leave, there's going to be a bloodbath. Of course, there's a bloodbath going on now. And it increasingly looks like if there's not some sort of mediation of what's going on, that would occur. So then what are we left with? Yes, stay and continue the occupation? It seems particularly the Iraqi people are damned if we do and damned if we don't.
Right. I think pretty much many of these problems were inexorable, in the words of General Odom, who discussed this when he was urging the United States not to go on this course, as a number of generals were saying, don't do this, along with members of the first Bush administration, people like Brent Scowcroft, who were advising not to get the U.S. in the middle of this. But the neoconservatives who dominate this administration and of course George Bush himself decided that it would be an easy thing to do. The U.S. could go in with, show its tremendous military power. The Iraqis would submit to it. They would do pretty much what we wanted. We could then reorder their society, and it would all work out well. The trouble is, that's an awfully big thing. It's a big undertaking, and to do it with violence, the kind of violence that goes with an invasion, was rather foolhardy from the very beginning. And now the question becomes, how do you undo some of that damage, or how do you at least minimize it? And the Bush administration seems to have very little idea about how you can extricate the U.S. It wants to keep talking about victory when I'm not sure that's the right concept at this point.
Mm-hmm. Well, sometimes callers ask me, well, you know, what's your solution? I say, my solution? Hey, how about the guys with the suits in Washington? They got us into us. Let them figure out a good way to get us out and stop all the killing. Just before we go, and I think we only have about a minute or so left, Robert Perry, tell us about your website, Consortium News. consortium.com. It looks like Consortium, if you want to look it up, consortiumnews.com. But I'm correct, isn't it? It's pronounced
right,
Consortium.
Right, yes.
Yeah. Tell us just a little brief history of it.
Well, basically, I started in 1995. My oldest son had just gone out of college and said there was this thing called the Internet Dad. Huh. And I really wanted to have a place where we could do serious investigative journalism, much of which was not being done in the 1990s. So we started it, and we kept it going for 10 years. We have a lot of very strong, I think very well-reported, well-documented stories that deal with both current events, but also bring in the historical context to try to make more sense out of them. So it's been a way for us to get serious investigative journalism out, I think, in a pretty readable way. And we've been doing it now for 10 years, which makes it one of the oldest websites of its kind.
And extraordinarily valuable as well. Well, Robert Perry, thanks for joining me. Your latest book, Secrecy and Privilege, Rise of the Bush Dynasty from Watergate to Iraq. I assume you can find that at consortiumnews.com as well. Thanks again for joining me on the Mike Malloy Show.
Okay.
It's been great. Peter Werbe here with you. Some of you have been so patient. We're all open line for the next hour and 15 minutes, so hang on. Grab the phones, too. There's open lines, 866-303-2270. I'll be right back.
The Mike Malloy Show on Air America Radio.
Hello, my name's Smokey, and I'm a hardcore biker. I'm here to tell you that Geico... Hold on a sec. Is this the right music, bro?
Really?
Anyway, Geico covers most kinds of bikes, so you can get money-saving discounts whether you're a casual weekend rider or a hardcore biker like me.
See, man, I'm not sure. This music don't make a lick of sense.
For a free rate quote on motorcycle insurance, visit geico.com or call 1-800-44-CYCLE. Geico Motorcycle Insurance. Let's ride.
Don't let a stiff neck or an aching back or even arthritis keep you from being active. Go out and get the Salon Pause Patch. Salon Pause medicated patches provide fast and sustained relief to aching muscles and joints. Simply apply the Salon Pause Patch where it hurts and enjoy hours of soothing relief. No fuss, no mess, just lasting relief. So don't let muscle pain slow you down. Be more active with the Salon Pause Patch. Salon Pause is available at major chain drugstores and pharmacies.
It's Mike Malloy Show, Peter Werby broadcasting from Detroit. Open line for the next hour and 15 minutes. Be part of it. 866-303-2270. Talking about death squads now reigning freely in Iraq, some of them specifically targeting gays. Here's what John writes into calltalkyes@yahoo.com. It seems to me they are killing the gays to rid their community of the sinful. They believe that their God will not bless them in the war if they have sinful in their midst. They seem to believe that this is the great battle of good and evil, and they must purify themselves. And he says, the scary thing is how close that is to what George W. Bush thinks. Here's Bob in California. It's Oakland. Go ahead. You're on the air.
Hello?
Hey, you're on the air. Go ahead.
Hello?
Hello?
Do you hear me?
I hear you just fine. Go ahead.
Oh, okay. Your screeners are messing up. They keep hanging up and clicking and all this stuff on the phone. I just wanted to call. I've been trying to call for a while. I want to thank the person, the whistleblower, released the Katrina tape of Bush sitting in a room, you know, just kind of looking stupid. And we greatly appreciate that. I haven't heard many people, acknowledge the decision they have to make, someone who's a whistleblower, you know. Are they going to risk their job to let the public know what's going on here?
They're supposed to be protected, but like most protections, that has gone away, and so whistleblowers are at the whim of the people they're blowing the whistle on.
Oh, absolutely. They take a, you know, how many people are going to risk their job, risk all this, you know, just to, let the public know what's going on, you know.
Well, I hope some do. Thanks, Bob. I appreciate your call. Here's James in Oregon. James, hi. It's Peter Werby. You're on the air. Hey, James. James. Are we having some phone problems or what? Maybe not. Here's Ron in Sacramento. Ron, hi. You're on the air.
Ron, good evening. I think it's kind of interesting to compare former President Carter with Bush. You know, Carter was a legitimate Christian. He had a lot of goodwill. He had a plan for Middle East peace that he took a stab at, you know, and he tried conflict resolution. Bush, on the other hand, is a fake, phony, not a Christian at all, more like the devil in the pill. He has contempt and venality that just oozes out of him, obviously. And they want endless war, which means endless profits. This guy is a mass murderer, obviously some kind of Luciferian relating to the Skull and Bones and the rest of it.
Let me just say that when, yeah, and we've been talking about religion over the last few nights, yeah, when politicians begin to invoke religion, or when political states wrap themselves in the cloak of it and employ the power, the repressive power of the state in order to enforce their particular brand of religion, yeah, you know freedom is out the window.
Yeah, you know when they have to talk about it, Peter, when they have to talk up their great religiosity or their great patriotism, you know they're a fake, generally speaking. For instance, on the Hannity show, the zombie-like callers that call in, they have to tell Hannity that he's a great American and a great patriot constantly. You know, their consciences, probably some of them still have some kind of conscience, although most of these neocon fakes seem to be without any kind of remorse, any kind of regret of the crazy policy that they've helped to push. And all these people, from Hannity to Medved to, Wiener Savage to Limbaugh and the whole excrement and broadcasting that he's been putting out for 15 years.
Well, they're all quite mad. They all are quite mad. Hey, thanks a lot, Ron. I appreciate your call. Here's Larry in Pennsylvania. Larry, go ahead. You're on the air.
Hello.
Hello.
Yeah, I'd like to tell you my idea of what I think we need to do in Iraq.
What's that?
And first of all, we have to get our troops out of there.
That's a good idea.
Because when you've got when you put your people on somebody else's land, they just go crazy.
It does kind of PO people. I know it would kind of set badly with us if people came to liberate us, right?
Absolutely. It's kind of interesting, you know, in this age when we're talking about doing away with national sovereignties. I mean, I'm not exactly sure what it is with a human being But, you know, you go on my property and people just kind of go crazy.
Yeah.
You know? So we got to, we're not going to change that, you know? So even if our intentions are good, right? So we've got to get our troops out of there.
Well, let's be careful.
That's
with
the first thing.
Well, I was going to say, let's be careful with our pronouns, because there's always a tendency to say our government. I think it's all they. I think it's it. I mean, I don't want to take any responsibility for the lies and the aggressiveness and the crimes against peace that Bushko has committed. Here's John in Connecticut. John, hi. You're on the Mike Malloy Show. Peter Werby here with you.
Hey, Peter Werby. How's it going tonight?
Going great.
I want to thank you for doing this, by the way. It's good to hear. It's good to hear something besides the best of Mike Malloy.
Yeah, we both agree. Everybody agrees. Although the best of Mike Malloy is still pretty good.
Well, it is. That's true. That's true.
But go ahead. We're almost out of time for this segment.
Well, yesterday you were talking about selling Iraqi dinars or...
Dinars, yeah.
Whatever the currency is.
I wasn't talking about selling. I was saying that they're for sale as an investment.
Yeah.
So you buy money as an investment.
It just sounds like the biggest scam ever. And I'm a little surprised that you gave out the website to that guy.
You know, I shouldn't have done that because, you know, that's what I count on you people for. And whenever I make a mistake, and there was another one that was made a couple times before when I was subbing for Mike, and people pull me up short, and well, they should. You'll never hear that on a right-wing show. You'll never have a right-wing host admit to a caller that he's made a mistake. And, because remember then the next caller called in and said, hey, that's blood money.
Yeah, that's
what,
right, yep.
The investment in dinars is based upon that the United States is going to militarily triumph over the enemy in Iraq of the day, which probably will mean hundreds and hundreds, maybe thousands of or more American dead, and perhaps tens of thousands of more Iraqi dead. All right, got to go, John. Thanks a lot. That closes out this hour. We've got one more and a couple of things. That means we've got another 60 minutes to take your calls. 866-303-2270. And it also means that there's lots of open lines, so get on it. And we'll be back after our top-of-the-hour information on The Mike Malloy Show. I'm Peter Werby.
Malloy on Air America Radio.
There's a natural resource that exists everywhere on the planet that could help end poverty. And yet, it's being ignored. That resource is women. In many of the poorest parts of the world, women are pushed to the sidelines of their societies, not allowed to play a significant role. At CARE, we found that if given a chance, women possess incredible power to create change. So CARE is working to educate girls, working to help women start businesses, working to empower women worldwide. Right now, you can help CARE unleash this resource around the globe. For as little as $2 a day, you can make a difference to millions around the world.
I am powerful.
I am powerful.
She has the power to change her world.
I am powerful.
You have the power to help her do it.
To make your gift to CARE, call 1-800-486-0916. That's 800-486-0916. 800-486-0916.
Air America Radio News, I'm Jeff Weiser. Hundreds of passengers aboard a cruise ship that caught fire while at sea are back in South Florida. Princess Cruises chartered airplanes to get the passengers back to the States. Wheelchair-bound Jimmy Wright was on one of those flights, and he reflected about his concern if he had to get off the ship.
One time when they said, we're going to have to get on the lifeboats, then I was a little nervous.
What were you thinking?
I'm thinking, how are you going to get me on a lifeboat?
One person died and nearly a dozen others suffered injuries in the fire investigators think began on a cabin balcony. They suspect a smoldering cigarette sparked the inferno. Most passengers had high praise for the crew who they said helped out greatly throughout the ordeal. The stakes surrounding this year's midterm election brought President Bush to Indianapolis Friday to raise some major campaign cash for 9th District Congressman Mike Sodrell.
The difference is clear. If you want the government in your pocket, vote Democrat. If you want to keep more of your hard-earned money, vote Republican.
Bush spoke at the $1,000 per plate fundraiser. As Tomahawk missiles fell on Baghdad and American troops began crossing the border into Iraq, information about the U.S. invasion plans was reportedly delivered to Saddam Hussein's government by Russia's ambassador to the country. The claim is contained in a Pentagon report just released. Sheriff's detectives from Tennessee are on the way to Alabama to take custody of the wife of a minister shot to death this week in his home. Church members discovered the body of Matthew Winkler when he failed to appear for an event. Wife Mary and their children were found in Alabama. She reportedly confessed during interrogation. A man who lost both legs in the Staten Island ferry crash of 2003 has settled his lawsuit with New York City. 27-year-old Paul Esposito will receive $25.6 million over the course of his lifetime. Airlines with Airbus A300 jetliners in their fleets are being urged by the National Transportation Safety Board to immediately inspect the rudders of those aircraft. The government notice comes 3 weeks after Airbus Industries itself already issued an advisory urging inspection of the rudder skins that could develop flaws. You're listening to Air America Radio News. I'm Jeff Weiser.
Peter Werby sitting in for Mike. My final hour, and then it's the weekend. Monday, Mike and Kathy and little Molly will be back. In the meantime, we're all open line for this hour, so please join me. 866-303-2270. Hey, I haven't mentioned my website once tonight. Peter Werby, W-E-R-B-E.com. PeterWerby.com. You know, there's more to this story about Andrew Young, the civil rights leader, as we hear frequently, who came up with Martin Luther King and was also the mayor of Atlanta and was the United Nations ambassador from the U.S. The fact that he now is being called a sellout because he's working for Walmart. Now, Walmart has been getting a repeated black eye over the last couple of years. People have been really calling it to task on its wages and its benefits and its sweatshop labor and the way it can control production in other countries. It becomes a monopoly, much in the same way Standard Oil did in the 19th century. But there's more to this. Here, this is from the Associated Press. At the grand opening of a Walmart in a black suburb of Atlanta, civil rights leader Andrew Young, why is he still a civil rights leader? Ex-civil rights leader Andrew Young danced with store clerks bouncing to the song We Are Family. He also posed with a $1 million check from the company, a donation for a memorial to the Reverend Martin Luther King Jr. to be built on the National Mall in Washington. So the company, as lots of companies do, when they feel the heat, they start to buy goodwill. I'm not entirely opposed to that, but the best thing they could do in terms of buying goodwill is to treat their employees different. And with all this cosmetic changes that we're beginning to see in Walmart, because they're getting very aware of how they're being perceived by many people in this country, particularly after the successful run of the movie about Walmart by Richard Greenwald, they want to do something on the surface. Now, you got to remember, one of them got killed in a plane accident. So does that break it down to four? I mean, they're billionaires. The four remaining, what is it? I think mom and three kids. And they could decide they were going to pay every single Walmart worker a wage like the UAW used to, and securely. And they would still be worth billions. It's just pathological greed on the part of this class of owners up there. It's not like they would be hurt. They have so much money. They have so that expression about they have more money than they know what to do with. I mean, it's way beyond that. It's literally that. If you took 90% of their money away from them, they would still have more money than they knew what to do with. So they could easily reward their workers by treating them decently, giving them decent wages, allowing them to be middle-class people rather than the working poor, take the worry and the stress out of their lives. We've talked repeatedly about the survey that said Republicans are happier than Democrats. Well, most poor people and working people tend to be Democrats. Do you think maybe one of the reasons that those people aren't very happy is economic insecurity? Well, let's go on with this. So, Young took part in the pep rally in his new position as a paid corporate cheerleader for Walmart. Okay, we're not calling him a civil rights leader anymore. How could they call somebody in the same article a paid corporate cheerleader for Walmart and a civil rights leader? Anyways, a role that has perplexed some of his longtime civil rights colleagues who have all but accused him of going over to the enemy. Activists for the poor have long complained that Walmart skimps on wages and health benefits, that's true, forces employees to work off the clock, we know that's true, and kills off mom-and-pop businesses. There's no doubt about that. Young formed something called Good Works International, and he's got a lot of fronts that are like financed by H&R Block and what have you. He's decided to get rich off the memory of a man who gave his life for equality. For equality. Now, that's not what Walmart is all about. Maybe giving real cheap goods to people in this country, but people where they're made are getting screwed, and it does nothing for the overall inequality that's growing all the time in wealth in this country, where the rich, like the Walmarts, the Waltons, are getting richer, and the poor are always getting poorer. Now, let's see. All right, and to show you how venal his activities are, Andrew Young and his company were hired last month to promote Walmart at public appearances, in interviews, and in op-ed pieces. Doesn't this all sound like the Bush stuff with these PR firms in Iraq? This is according to Kevin Sheridan, spokesman for Working Families for Walmart. Well, isn't that nice to know? There actually are some working families for Walmarts. Oh, no, a group organized with backing from the company. The group defends Walmart Stores, Inc. against attacks from critics. All right, so one man's venality, one man's corruption, you know, nobody sells out till the offer is made and all that. But on Wednesday, young HUD customers signed autographs and posed for pictures with local dignitaries while singing Walmart's praises. He cut the ribbon at a store, blah, 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 blah. The new store has received more than 8,000 applicants for 500 jobs. Young said he expects new housing and more businesses to follow Walmart's lead and come to the suburban area that is home to some of the country's most affluent blacks but has stagnated in attracting jobs. Oh, yeah. I mean, jobs at, what do they go out at now? $7.50 an hour, $8.50 an hour, something like that. Terrible benefits. That's really going to bring people in. But you see the level of economic desperation when you have 500 bad jobs and 8,000 people lining up to get them. That shows you the state of things. Now, the other article, I think I might have mentioned this the other night. It's called Plight Deepens for Black Men, according to studies. And it says, black men in the United States states face a far more dire situation than is portrayed by common employment and education statistics. And this, a flurry of new scholarly studies warn, and it has worsened in recent years, even as an economic boom and a welfare overhaul have brought gains to black women and other groups. I mean, that's total BS, the last part of it. But it's talking about this study by experts at Columbia, Princeton, and Harvard that says, focusing more closely than ever on life patterns of young men, show that the huge pool of poorly educated black men are becoming ever more disconnected from the mainstream society. Especially in the country's inner cities, the studies show. Finishing high school is the exception. Legal work is scarcer than ever, and prison is almost routine, with incarceration rates climbing for blacks even as urban crime rates have declined. Although the problem affecting poor black men have been known for decades, the new data paint a more extensive and sobering picture of the challenges they face. One of the things, too, is that Walmart is getting into organics. They're going to try to control the organics market. All right, let's get some of your calls. Oh, man, there's a lot of room for you here. 866-303-2270. We're completely open line. You don't have to respond to what I'm talking about. I'm always pleased to hear from you. Here's Bob in California. Hi, Bob. You're on the air.
Hey, what do you call it when the world's greatest military force fails to defend their own headquarters?
I give up. What?
9/11, of course, a false flag attack.
There you go.
The problem here is that the official report chalks it up to simply an oops, as in the defense establishment just screwed up or something, except that the problem here is that if we the people, the taxpayers, have paid in billions of dollars over decades in taxes to fund the Department of Defense, and this Defense Department fails to even defend their own headquarters on 9/11, there is something grievously wrong here, and the work of fiction that is the 9/11 report doesn't half cover it.
Now, you're absolutely right. I don't understand why impeachment proceedings weren't launched against George W. Bush for this catastrophic failure, even at the level of solely misfeasance. I mean, I know a lot of people think it was malfeasance, but even at the level of misfeasance, why wasn't this man ejected from public office? People wanted to do it after Katrina. Well, there's a little something, I don't know, maybe they were equally egregious when you think of it.
Mm-hmm.
Except that 9/11 set the stage for exactly what these neocons had planned all along, the invasion and occupation of Afghanistan and the invasion and occupation of Iraq. This was long in the planning.
Yeah, it's really, you know, if people are listening to this radio station and have not contacted their senators with their opinion of this fiasco, if your senators don't know what you think, you are taxed and not represented, and that's not good.
No.
So with that, we leave you. Great show. Love your programming, sir. But
I appreciate it, Bob. Thanks for taking the time to call us. All right, I think we're going to go to a break now. Yeah, sounds like it. Here come the Rolling Stones. We're going to talk to a guy in Ohio. He plays in a band, plays patriotic songs. Man, we'll get to him. Want to get to you, too. 866-303-2270. 866-303-2270. 303-227-0. Peter Werby on the Mike Malloy Show. I'll be right back.
You're listening to the Mike Malloy Show on Air America Radio.
Have you ever found a penny on the ground? Of course you have. Well, imagine that for the next 50,000 steps you take, there's always a penny at your feet. It feels like that.
Have you ever put on a pair of clean pants and found a $20 bill in the pocket? Man, that's a good feeling, right? Well, take that feeling and multiply it by 25 pairs of pants, and you're close.
New GEICO customers report average annual savings of $500 on their car insurance. Discover how it feels and how much you could save. Go to GEICO.com. Simple as that.
At Borders, we believe readers should never be stuck without something good to read.
Well, Club, we read a real classic. The mac and cheese box. Let's discuss.
Oh, I loved it. The boiling of the water, the adding of the salt.
Oh, what about the French directions?
Yeah, bouillie de eau de tasses. So romantic.
Yeah.
You'll always have something great to read with Borders Rewards. Joining is free. Earn rewards every time you shop. See store for details.
What about next month? How about the French fried onion can? I've been dying to read it. Oh.
Join Borders Rewards. Make reading even more rewarding.
And now, back to Peter Werby on the Mike Malloy Show.
Mr. Speaker, the President of the United States.
Mr. Speaker, members of Congress, Mom and Dad, last month a girl in Lincoln, Rhode Island, sent me a letter. it began, "Dear George W. Bush, if there's anything you know, please send me a letter. P.S. Kiss my ass. Dick is a killer." It began the end of June in the Casablanca. Vice President Cheney, he showed the way. Terrified and innocent, the desire growing stronger, submitting to the whim of one brutal man. I feel free, I feel free, I feel free, I feel free. Dick is a killer.
All right, welcome back. Peter Werby on the Mike Malloy Show. Dick is a killer from thepartyparty.com or .org. Anyways, one or the other. And the reason I faded down, George starts talking kind of dirty, so we can't have it here on Air America. Let's go back to our phones. I was just talking about this story where Andrew Young, the so-called civil rights leader, I'm not going to call him that anymore because he's a Walmart fleck. Let's go to Bill in New York City. Bill, hi, it's Peter Werby on the Mike Malloy Show.
Hey, Peter, how are you doing?
Doing great, thanks.
I don't know if your listeners recall when Mobutu Sese Seko was in power. Andrew Young actually represented him. He was doing a Henry Kissinger type, represent a dictator.
Now, how long ago was this?
Oh, in the last 10 years.
Mm-hmm.
And I was not shocked, but, it seems he was going that direction for a few years, but that was actually the height of it.
Yeah.
So this Walmart thing doesn't surprise me at all.
I suppose not. But on the other hand, it gives you just kind of a sad feeling because the goals of the civil rights movement went, and particularly since Dr. King was beginning to enunciate them, went way beyond race. Sure, he wanted to end the formal segregation, but increasingly he was taking up the cause of labor, of anti-war, of income inequality. And for a man like Young to wind up like this, it is disheartening. Don't you think?
Oh, very much.
Okay, Bill, thank you very much. I said I was going to go to Dick, different Dick, but Dick in Ohio. Dick, hi, you're on the air.
Hey, how you doing, Peter?
I'm doing great.
Hey, you got a great show. You got my support, Air America.
Thank you,
it's
sir.
It's great. I saw your website. It's great. I support it. And I just wanted to tell you, my family was from Ohio, and we're all musically inclined, and I play in this group. We play like in the Ohio River. It's called the Kettering Banjo Society.
Okay.
And we do like patriotic songs at the end, like Grand Old Flag, and we salute the armed forces. And it's the greatest thing, Jack and Troy. We might be up in your area this summer. I'm hoping you come down. Some of your colleagues come down.
Up in the Detroit area?
Yeah.
Yeah, well.
Well, my cousin used to play in that area a lot. He played in a little jazz band up there.
I was going to say, here in Detroit, we mostly played jazz and rock and roll.
Oh, do you?
Yeah.
But this stuff, Pete, you would love it. If you go to New Orleans, you'd hear the stuff like Bill Bailey, and it's just something that we've got around. The paper's done features on it. It's the greatest thing that's happened.
Why don't you send me something if you go to my website, as you did?
I'll send it up to the where you work up there.
Okay.
Well, have a good day. It's a pleasure.
Thank you, Dick. I appreciate it. Let's go to John in Spokane. John, hi. You're on the Mike Malloy Show. Peter Werby here with you.
Hello.
Hello.
I have a theory on where the $8.8 billion that disappeared from Iraq went.
Somebody got it. Uncle Bucky?
No. It first disappears and goes to the UAE, and they take 10% handling fee and give the rest to the Carlyle Group.
Well, you know, it is such a racket. Every time, somewhere or other, where did I have? I guess it was that Bush's uncle, Uncle Bucky, had made a fortune off of the war industries. And how many people are getting rich? I mean, think about that. The people that are getting wealthy, the Halliburtons, the Carlyle Groups, the Bechtels, all the arms manufacturers. And there you've got this mountain of dead Iraqis, this heap of dead Americans, people that with the most grievous wounds, like that kid that's over here. I mean, I just saw the photograph of him. I couldn't even look at it for more than half a second. And other people are getting absolutely wealthy off of that.
Right.
Should there be a law?
Well, I just look at, even as big as the world is, you can't hide $8 billion.
And, well, you mean in cash?
The amount that surfaced to the Carlyle Group is just too close to what's disappeared.
Yeah, but it's in cash because I was saying earlier, we've shipped about probably $1 billion in cash in our tax dollars
over to Iraq to pay people.
Right.
Yeah, doesn't make a bit of sense unless you're on the receiving end. All right, thanks a lot. I appreciate your call. Yeah, I think most of you know this by now. Uncle Bucky, William H.T. Bush, collected over $1.9 million in cash plus stock valued at $800,000 from this deal. And you say, well, you know, he provided a service. I mean, because that's the function that these right-wing shows serve. That kind of pulls the average person, even the average conservative, up. Wait a minute, what's the deal? A guy connected with the president whose father is part of this Carlyle group who owns all these weapons manufacturers are you know, getting rich, and then, you know, they destroy Iraq, and then Halliburton, that Vice President Cheney's still getting money from, is getting billions of dollars and scandal after scandal about no bids and disappearing money and all of that. It's an absolute racket. So the right wingers, they explain to these people what's going on, why it's okay. It's not okay with us, is it? It's Mike Malloy's show. I'm Peter Werby. Some open lines for you. 866-303-2270. At least Rush Limbaugh is willing to admit he's a Nazi. You don't think so? I'll play a song coming out of the break. As soon as we come back, stay tuned.
This is the Mike Malloy Show on Air America Radio.
Do you know the power of financial empowerment? Ambassador Andrew Young, humanitarian and educator, has teamed with Operation Hope founder John Bryant to help eradicate poverty through financial literacy education. Mr. Bryant, how is Operation Hope meeting this challenge?
To empower 5 million youth in 5 years in financial literacy.
Ambassador Young, what's your role in financial literacy education?
Well, I came up with Martin Luther King in the Civil Rights Movement, and now we're trying to develop a Silver Rights Movement. Young people in the system of free enterprise and capitalism need to understand money and how it works. It takes an army of volunteers. Business leaders, educators, the entire community. We need the community's help.
If you need financial hope, we're here to help you. Call Operation Hope at 877-592-HOPE. That's 877-592-HOPE. Or visit us online at operationhope.org.
Don't let a stiff neck or an aching back or even arthritis keep you from being active. Go out and get the Salon Pause Patch. Salon Pause medicated patches provide fast and sustained relief to aching muscles and joints. Simply apply the Salon Pause Patch where it hurts and enjoy hours of soothing relief. No fuss, no mess, just lasting relief. So don't let muscle pain slow you down. Be more active with the Salon Pause Patch. Salon Pause is available at major chain drugstores and pharmacies.
The following is a message from Brutus at the National Disaster Search Dog Foundation.
Last October, 3 buildings collapsed. I was called in to help. 2 little kids were missing. I looked everywhere. Then I found them. They were crying. We all were.
Be part of the search. Call 1-888-4K9-HERO or visit searchdogfoundation.org. Made possible by Search Dog USA.
We'll be right back.
It's Mike Malloy Show, and hey, we're getting up towards the end of it. My final substituting, so give me a call, 866-303-2270. I wanted to play a song I've been promising, and I got a letter writer from Switzerland that's taking me to task for my criticism of Andrew Young, and some people on the phone that want to talk about that as well. So listen up, here is Rush Limbaugh admitting he's a Nazi.
Ladies and gentlemen, Rush Limbaugh!
They say that I'm sleaze and elitist. You please, everybody disagrees with my rap.
It is rap.
I'm horrendous, I'm appalling. My ratings now are falling. I'm so full of bull, so full of crap.
Full of crap.
With condescending tribes making money selling lies. You might say, everybody hates my guts.
Hates his guts.
I'm offensive, I'm a bigot, I'm a fraud. Can you dig it? I'm a sexist, racist, homophobic, fat, pathetic cuts.
I'm a Nazi.
He's a Nazi.
That's right.
I really am,
because I'm a Nazi.
He's a Nazi.
That's right.
You're being scammed.
I'm a Nazi.
He's a Nazi.
I don't care about the middle class, because I'm a fat conservative butthead with a face of a horse's ass.
He's a fat conservative butthead.
Hey,
with a face of a horse's ass.
I have a subhuman figure, a huge rear end. My brain? That's another story.
It's quite another
I
story.
I have a face the size of a wash tub. And my ass is as big as Missouri. Yes!
This bastard is sick. He's a fat mom is big and his ass is as big as Missouri.
Yes, Toby Bob! Manipulating statements, exaggerating the truth. I can't believe that he hates my show. He smiles. It's not just because I'm stupid. It's not just because I'm scum. It's just because Republicans are liars. I am heartless. I am vain.
Ever heard it?
They say that I'm a national disgrace.
Disgrace.
I am nasty,
yes.
Insulting,
no.
Basically revolting.
Uh-huh.
I'm a concentrated pile of human waste.
He's human waste.
Because I'm a Nazi.
He's a Nazi.
Pile.
I really am.
Because I'm a Nazi.
He's a Nazi.
That's right.
You're being scammed.
I'm a Nazi.
He's a Nazi.
I don't care about the middle class.
I'm a sick Republican sleazeball with a face of a horse's ass.
He's a sick Republican sleazeball with a face of a horse's ass.
They say that this is not about my vanity. They doubt my sanity. They think I'm nuts.
So nuts.
I am a cyst on the ass of humanity.
Yeah.
New Republican slogan, read my tuts.
From the bowels of a
here
comes the voice of Rush Limbaugh.
In closing, let me say that each and every day, I'm an evil, rotten, egotistical snob. I'm the copper, the cop of Joe McCarthy-like Gestapo, the right-wing, foam-of-the-mouth, jack-booted slob, the democratic trasher, years of liberal bashing with the equivalent compassion of a grommet. With the IQ of a pig, I'm the fat, obnoxious pig. And the truth of the matter is, I'm vomit.
He's vomit.
Because I'm a Nazi.
He's a Nazi.
I really am.
Because I'm a Nazi.
He's a Nazi.
You're being scammed.
I'm a Nazi.
He's a Nazi.
I don't care about the middle class.
Because I'm a fear-mongering scumbag with the face of a horse's ass.
He's a fat conservative butthead.
Hey, sick Republican sleazeball. Fear-mongering scumbag.
Oh.
Egotistical ass.
My
mean-spirited, hum-lowering fat conservative tots.
With the
face
of a horse's ass.
I don't know, the Mike Malloy Show. Peter Werby playing that. I take full responsibility for that bit of crudeness, to be sure. I don't know if you can download it from my site. If you go to peterwerby.com, W-E-R-B-E.com, and then over on the left, there, I think, what does it say, Stop Hate Radio or something like that, but there's radio or maybe something about radio on the left, and there's kind of antennas and stuff. Downaways. You can click on that, and you can go to the song, and you might be able to download it from there. All right, I was being real critical of Andrew Young for signing on as a paid flack for Walmart, And Peter, listening in Switzerland via the internet, says your comments about Andrew Young are far wrong. The guy worked for decades for the Democratic National Committee and his black community. Look very carefully how many black people got jobs in Bill Clinton's staff. The guy was the best ambassador to the United Nations the USA ever had. Cheers from Switzerland. Let's go to Jonathan. Jonathan, you're on the air. Go ahead. Where are you calling from?
Calling from Manhattan.
Okay, welcome. What do you think?
Well, Andrew Young, you know, my parents came up in the actual movement, civil rights movement, and he's been affiliated with us for a long time. And my mother worked for the New York Urban League, National Black Child Development Institute, all these different organizations, so she came in contact with these people all the time. And I say these people because to a certain extent the black leaders have let us down. There's a certain level they get up to and they become bourgeoisie, just like everybody else. They get money and they become disinterested in the true, in what they were established, what they were put there to do, to help, and you know, help people, help black people.
Mm-hmm.
So it happens all over the place. I've had my doubts about Julian Bond. I've had my doubts about several people in the black community. But they are figureheads and they are faces, so they should be respected as such. Andrew Young did put shoe leather to sidewalk with Martin Luther King.
Sure he did.
So anyone that can do that,
well,
you have to have some semblance of respect for.
You do. On the other hand, that stature...
What have you done for me lately?
Well, the stature that he gained is diminished when he starts to be paid by Walmart. I mean, if he saw some value in bringing Walmart to an Atlanta suburb, which I don't, but he may disagree, one could imagine that he could do that or say, yeah, okay, I'll say hooray for you, but I want you to take my fee and give it to a local community group that's trying to provide after-school education or something like that.
Exactly. Minimum wage is not going to provide long-range stability, financial stability. He should know that. Shame on him for not knowing that. By taking Walmart's money, he becomes nothing else than a low-budget Armstrong Williams, a high-budget Armstrong Williams. Taking money from the other side, you're taking money from the other side, regardless of your record.
And, you know, our letter writer from Switzerland says that he's worked for decades for the Democratic National Committee and his black community. Well, but it's the kind of thing is what you're saying. He has enriched himself, and I don't know what things are like too well in Manhattan, but I do know in Detroit, the
my hometown originally.
Well, okay. Where'd you go to high school?
Left when I was 10, but my father went to Central. My mother was a professor at Wayne State University. I mean,
hey, here you go. I went to Central High.
Oh, right on. My father's high school.
Yeah, all right, and I went to Wayne State University.
Oh, my God. Maybe my mother was your professor. Well, yeah.
Do you feel comfortable saying her name?
Day.
Okay. All right. Thank you, Jonathan. Appreciate it. Speaking about Detroit, here's Dave in Detroit. Dave, welcome to the broadcast.
Hey, Pete. How you doing, man?
I'm doing good. Thanks for joining me.
It's strange how quickly I went from missing Mike a couple weeks ago when you were on. Now I'm going to miss you. Can I ask real quick, what station are you on here in Detroit?
Well, you know, I think it would be inappropriate for me to say, because this is also being broadcast in Detroit. You can go to my website, Peter Werbe, W-E-R-B-E, peterwerbe.com, and you can get all the information about my broadcasting.
All right, thanks.
All right.
Well, I want to talk about, though, that, you know, you seem to be the only voice that always encourages people to get together and organize and, like, discuss issues that, you know, gravely affect us. And it's easy to let, you know, these progressive voices take the wheel. And, you know, with all these like, kooks like O'Reilly and Hannity out there, can't emphasize how important it is people to get together and petition while we still have it within our rights before, you know, all that's gone. I mean, you hear about the vegans in California that are being spied upon. You know, how quickly is it going to escalate?
Well, if I had any criticism of Mike Malloy whatsoever, and I say he's my favorite talk show host, it's his pessimism. And he could even be a realist. I mean, an optimist to some extent like myself, or at least with a strain of optimism, I could be really off the road and his view could be much more accurate. But I don't want to make it a self-fulfilling prophecy. I don't want us to be the beautiful losers anymore. There's too much at stake. The whole planet is at stake. And right now we have some pathologically mad individuals at the helm of our government and many others. And we're on the highway to hell, as I said earlier. And that could be a living hell if we don't deal with some of these issues like war and disease and environment.
That's why this next election is so important in November.
Where do you live? Do you live in Detroit, Dave? Or
I live right outside Detroit, Westland.
Okay, I know where it is. We used to call it, you won't be offended, Wasteland, but I'm sure most...
Oh, yeah. Wasteland and Garbage City, right there.
All right, Dave, thanks. Thanks for joining me. Here's Matt in California. Hey, Matt, you're on the air.
Hey, it's good to hear from you.
Well, thank you. It's good to hear from you. Thanks for joining me. You want to talk about that video, Loose Change?
Yeah, hey. Oh, man. This broke my heart. I watched this thing. Now, I was not anywhere near signing on to this whole attitude. I just wasn't. I just thought, no.
This is about 911, right?
Yeah, but it, yeah. And if you go to Google and you punch in Google video, and it'll take you to a screen with a bunch of videos, and then you, in the search box, you punch in loose change, two words.
Yeah.
It'll bring up this movie. It's over an hour. And if you watch it, your heart will be ripped out of your chest.
I'll tell you, Matt.
You can't believe these people would do this.
I was at a anti-war demonstration a couple of weeks ago put on by a group called Women in Black, and a guy in camo, in full camo, gave me this, and I brought it home, and I said to my wife, I want to play this, and she said, I got bad news for you. Our DVD player just quit working, so I got to go get one, and then I'm going to watch it. Matt, thanks for joining me. We're looking up here at the call screen as we go to spots. Ain't nobody there. A couple of things. I can talk right up to the top of the hour. I'd much rather hear from you. 866-303-2270. Peter Werby on The Mike Malloy Show. We'll be right back.
The Mike Malloy Show on Air America Radio.
The lies, incompetence, greed, and pure stupidity of the Bush crime family are all revealed in the game Impeached. Hi, Truth Seekers. This is Mike Malloy. And if you despise this crime family like I do, you need to visit ImpeachBushGame.com and buy the only board game that's bold enough to tell it like it is. Go to ImpeachBushGame.com, buy your game, and check out the Bush, Satan Rove, and Deadeye Dick voodoo dolls. I've got my game, and I'm sticking pins in my Bush voodoo doll right now! So visit ImpeachBushGame.com and join in on the fun today.
Don't let a stiff neck or an aching back or even arthritis keep you from being active. Go out and get the Salon Pause Patch. Salon Pause medicated patches provide fast and sustained relief to aching muscles and joints. Simply apply the Salon Pause Patch where it hurts and enjoy hours of soothing relief. No fuss, no mess, just lasting relief. So don't let muscle pain slow you down. Be more active with the Salon Pause Patch. Salon Pause is available at major chain drugstores and pharmacies.
Hi, Truth Seekers. You're listening to Peter Werby sitting in for me, Mike Malloy.
Chiefs in Iraq want to know they got info. It's George W. Bush re-election. Oh, I've got the Bush War Blues. I've got the Bush War Blues.
That's Billy Bragg on the Mike Malloy Show. Peter Werby pushing the buttons. You can go to Billy Bragg, that's two G's, the English singer-songwriter. A lot of good stuff there. Let's go to Mike in Connecticut. Mike, hi. Peter Werby with you. What's up?
Peter, how's it going?
Going good.
Hey, I love Mike Malloy, but I just wanted to tell you I really enjoy listening to you, too. It's great to hear that there are other voices across the country talking truth to power. I really appreciate that.
Well, thank you, Mike. And you know what? I love Mike Malloy, too, and I've enjoyed this week so much, but I'm going to appreciate Mike coming back. I'm going to be tuned in at 10 o'clock Eastern time on Monday. But go ahead. You want to talk about Move On?
Well, I'm fairly active with Move On, and we went to our congressperson's office this week, and we do that on a regular basis for different issues. And we went to talk about the budget this time. And I just wanted to, you know, tell anybody who's listening that how empowering that is. And it does make a difference. And if you have any inclination to do it, because we got to get the Congress back. And you know, it's alleged that they've stolen the last couple of elections. The only way we're going to, you know, defeat that is if we can overwhelm their capacity to rig those numbers.
Sure.
So we got to get the vote out.
Have you seen this book by Mark Crispin Miller, Fooled Again?
I've heard of it, and I've got to read it. I hear it's outstanding.
Yeah, I've interviewed. I interviewed him. I think like last this Monday. Yeah, it's a good read and important if we're gonna face another stolen election. Hey, Connecticut. What about Lieberman? We got somebody running in the primary against him. Remind me his name, Dave Lamont?
Ned. Lamont.com.
Okay, NedLamont.com. Thanks, Mike.
Yes,
I appreciate
all right.
it. Here's Steve in Atlanta. Steve, hi. It's Peter Werby on the Mike Malloy Show.
Hey, Peter. Thanks. Great show. I just wanted to talk a little bit about Andrew Young and kind of, you know, the sort of the sorry state that's become of, and this business of shilling for corporations like Walmart is not something particularly new. I don't know if anybody remembers about 10 years ago, he did the same thing for Nike when Nike was having a lot of trouble, you know, with allegations about you know, sweatshops and things like that over in Asia. You know, he signed on with them and went over there and said, "Hey, everything looks good to me." And
that's right.
So this really isn't anything new. So, and it's like you said, you know, the guy has a, you know, incredible legacy of the civil rights movement. So it's sort of a shame to see it kind of end up this way.
Well, I think our caller from New York said that when you wave a lot of money in front of people, it's pretty hard to say no. I don't know. It would not be hard for me to say no if Walmart said, "Pete, I'm going to give you $2 million. All you got to do is say, we're really cool." I wouldn't do it. But you know what? Nobody sells out until the offer is made. So all of us say, "Well, I'd never do that." I mean, but I don't, and that doesn't let him off the hook.
No.
That doesn't mean that there's not a venal streak to the man. I mean, in fact, the deeper his history went into the civil rights movement, and he knows firsthand of how people paid with their lives, and then, as you said, to end up like this, it's fairly disgraceful, I'd say.
One quick thing, you guys are talking about loose change. There's another excellent video that's out there. Go to 911revisited.com. It's another video that they're giving away for free. All you got to do is just send the shipping fee, or you can just view it online. It's excellent. 911revisited.
All right. Thank you, Steve.
Thanks.
I appreciate it. Let's go to Asheville, North Carolina. Here's Margaret. Margaret, it's Peter Werby on the Mike Malloy Show.
Hi, Peter. It's been an enjoyable week with you. I love Mike, and it's just refreshing to hear yet another voice.
Oh, thank you.
You know, about this getting out of Iraq, I never wanted to go in. One of those voices that was speaking up before we actually went there. But After Cheney said, what, 2 weeks after 9/11 that it would be a 50-year war, I went, oh, my God. But, you know, number one, I never hear anybody speak about the Bremer edicts. What were they, about 125?
The viceroy, the appointed viceroy of Iraq who repealed the good parts of Iraqi law that, for instance, that allowed foreign investment. Previously, in the Constitution, you could not have foreign penetration and the extraction of profit to foreign firms. Now you can, because
right.
This man, with a stroke of a pen, said that law is gone.
Well, you know, and he represented the Bush regime and the neocons and all of that. But I think, number one, you get rid of every one of those edicts, or whatever you want to call them. Number two, they have totally privatized everything in that country. We've seen it in this country. Privatization of everything, including the institutions, doesn't work. It kills democracy.
Sure.
Get our troops out. I bring in an international UN peacekeeping force or whatever. But also, in this privatization, get rid of that. You know, some of it, yes, but not all of it. Not the institutions for the utilities and the water and so on and so forth. And they've also made it an absolute edict that they have to use Monsanto genetic seeds. So you can't, reseed. You have to buy new seed every year. That's
the killer
horrendous.
Seeds, the suicide seed. So it's just all corporate. It's
we say
it's a war for oil.
But they've got 67% unemployment over there because they will not hire the Iraqi people to do the work over there. They were one of the most well-educated populations in the Mideast that there ever was.
I know.
And they're bringing in all these, they've insourced from all over India and China and so on and so forth to do jobs that the Iraqi people could be doing. I mean, this is infuriating because actually, if you look at all of this, their entire goal,
Margaret, unfortunately, the music's coming up and this is my last few seconds.
So.
But no, you were great. Thank you so much for bringing so much to the program. And thanks to everybody at Air America Radio in New York. All of you have been great, made it so easy for me to work here out of Detroit for Mike. And to all of you listening, thanks for your wonderful email. Stay in touch. Email me at calltalkyes@yahoo.com. We'll see you further down the road.
Mike Malloy on Air America Radio.
Are you losing your hair? Fight back with Avacor. Now with Boost, which gives you visibly thicker hair with the first application.
I'm 20 years old and I've been losing my hair for 3 years. I started using Avacor and my hair stopped falling out. It's working.
Well, I'm 72 years old, and I can tell you honestly, I have a fuller, healthier head of hair now than I did when I was 18 years old. Avacor really worked.
Whether you're 20, 72, or any age in between, Avacor works. An Avacor Boost will improve your hair's appearance the same day you receive your order. Call now and find out how you can get 3 months of Avacor free with your order. Call 1-800-301-1420. That's 1-800-301-1420. This is a limited time offer, so call right now. 1-800-301-1420. That's 1-800-301-1420.